that's a dome that used to be down there forever. That's gone, and now they have these buildings that they built that are on lifts. They can raise them up as the years go on. And big, huge buildings. That's what they're living in. I don't know if you ever saw pictures of that thing. Back to you. We'll catch you next week. K2RIWWS2R.
You know, one of my microwave ham friends used to live in New Hampshire, and I went to his QTH to pick up a parabolic dish that he was selling to me while I was at one of the microwave conferences up there. He accepted a program, I guess you're going to call it, where he went to Antarctica. I think he was supposed to be there for 6 months or a year. And he went back two or three times in a row. And I think they give you a bonus if you stay the full length of time. And he went down there with a whole bunch of 432 antennas and did moon bounce from the South Pole. I'm having trouble thinking of the call that is right now. I'm going to say a good buddy. He's such a good buddy, I can't remember his call letters. But if we've got a couple of minutes, what else were you going to say about this medical mission, a very dangerous, difficult medical mission to recover that person directly from the South Pole or Pole? WS2N, K2RIW.
Dick, wasn't the first medical emergency a woman who had breast cancer, I believe? That's the first one?
I think you're right. And they didn't say what this medical emergency was, but they did say that that person drastically needs the medical aid that exists back in the United States that they don't have down there. Over to you, Paul.
Yeah, and there was another case, too. But either way, they were, probably 20 years ago. At that time, they didn't have proper communications either, and now they're starting to develop it. Even so, some of the satellites are geosynchronous. They don't usually cover the South or North Pole, but they got this one now. MU, is it MOUS? I don't know. It stands for something objective satellite. They got one going up on Atlas V in about a week or so. And with that in geosynchronous orbit, the antenna is so big, and they have all these different spot beams that they found out they're able to cover South America. So maybe they'll at least have good communications. They had nothing they had it, but it was tough. They might have even used HF. I don't know. Problems down in Antarctica. But that would have been a fun place to work there.
Yeah, a geosynchronous satellite is out above the Earth. 6 Earth radii is the distance, 22,300 miles. From that position over the equator, where all geosynchronous orbits have got to be, you can only see as far north as roughly the Arctic Circle, and as far south as the Antarctic Circle, something like 67 degrees, from 67 to 90 latitude. That's what? Almost 20 degrees. The last 20 degrees towards the South Pole, and the last 20 degrees towards the North Pole, is over the horizon to a geosynchronous satellite. So if there isn't some kind of a very disturbed orbit or a polar orbit satellite, I don't think you've got high-speed data to a geosynchronous satellite directly from the South Pole. That's over the horizon. If you can't get beyond the Antarctic Circle pole, WS2N, K2RW, I might be wrong on this.
Yeah, I just read this a week or so ago. The military uses it a lot. I'll have to bring it up. It's going up, I think, in about a week or so. There's three or four of them up there already, and there's another one. I think this is the final one in the group. But it gives them that capability. They ran the tests recently from the North Pole and from the South Pole, and it did work. So what they're doing, I'm not sure. Now, the Iridium satellites, they could always make contact on that, but I know they're pretty good. You can't go wrong with them, but they always need a backup system. Back to you.
By the way, Dick, the gravitational thing on Saturn is not 10,000. I just Googled that. It's more like double, a little more than double the weight on Earth, so I don't know. There's something wrong with that article.
And maybe they're talking about the gravitational constant at the surface. But since it's such a light, gaseous planet, as far as density is concerned, the surface that you see, you can't suspend yourself on it. Reminds me of the joke I've told people about these guys in Michigan, in northern Michigan, when they fly their sailplanes in the wintertime. Sometimes the sailplane gets into a cloud, and the sailplane gets frozen in the cloud, and they have to wait till the next morning when the sun rises to melt the clouds so that the sailplane can come back home. That's obviously a joke. And so it's kind of a problem when it comes to the surface of Jupiter. I think there's nothing but gas until you get down to the place where it gets so dense that it turns into a liquid and or a solid. I don't think it's got a real surface. But on Antarctica, so these other satellites they've launched up, Paul, do they have a polar component to their orbit? They're not, they may be at a geosynchronous altitude, but they can't be a geosynchronous satellite over the equator, I don't think, and get to the South Pole. I don't even think you can get to the outer perimeter of Antarctica. So these special new satellites must have a highly inclined orbit. And the good news is that now you get coverage. The bad news is you don't have 24-hour-a-day coverage because it's not there all the time. I mean, it would be very nice to drop. It'd be very nice to put a geo
repeater. Timeout.
It'd be very nice to put a geosynchronous satellite directly over New York City. It can't do that. It can't dwell there. It can dwell over the equator. One of those puzzles I used to use is that assuming you've got one satellite over the equator at every single 1 degree of longitude, 360 satellites, where on the Earth would you put a ground station so you can see the maximum number of those satellites? At first you would think at the North Pole or the South Pole, you would see them all. Well, if it's on a tower 1,000 miles high at the North Pole, that way you look over the horizon, and yes, you see them. The funny thing about that puzzle is that you see the maximum number of satellites when you're directly at the equator. As you go further north and south, you see less and less of them. At the North Pole, you see none of them. So these satellites, Paul, they must have a highly inclined orbit. Do you remember hearing words like that? WS2N, K2LAW?
Find out. It's MULS. I found it. It's the Mobile User Objective System. UHF. And it's between 300 megahertz and 6 gigahertz. I wrote it down here about a week ago. I found it. It's a SATCOM system. They're going to use it for maritime platforms, ground vehicles, dismounted soldiers, voice data, video, beyond the line of sight. So they ran some tests in Antarctica and in the Arctic, and that's basically this whole article. I don't know where I got it from.
Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
Okay. Since it's on VHF frequencies, and with a high enough power, big enough dish, you can send a tropospheric propagated signal 600, 800 miles. good sized dish at the South Pole. You get the first 600 or 800 miles by tropo. Then you're right at the horizon, and the rest of the way is to the satellite. So at VHF tropo, that sounds like it's possible. Now begin to believe, Paul. Okay. We're about to be cut off. We've done enough tonight. Bye-bye for now. I'll see you guys. K2LAW, clear but listening.
7-3s, gentlemen. And thanks for a great night. KC2WGB, clear. And, you know, I spoke to Eric about the timeout problem, and he claims it's operator error, but he is checking it. He is listening. I don't know if he's listening now, but maybe he'll be able to detect something.
And, Dick, they did this test in 2013. Lockheed Martin did it. You know, they're the ones involved with this project. The pole. So, that's it. Back to you. 73, guys.
Yes, nice to have reliable 365 days a year, 24 hours a day communication. So it looks like they found a way to do it.
Dick, they can't make that contact from Australia?
Oh, Australia can see the satellite easily. You're now asking, can you get from Australia to the South Pole? There's a lot of miles there and a lot of Earth curvature, John. Australia is far south as you and I north. I mean, somebody from Australia could say, hey, can't you guys in New York talk to the North Pole? Over to you, John.
Yeah, right. John, why not use a
repeater? Time out.
I'll repeat that, Paul.
I just lost the repeater. I'm sorry. I said, yeah, why can't they use the HF? Use the HF from like you said, from Australia. You know, that's only a couple of thousand miles. We do it all the time.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Something like that, some type of a relay station, but maybe they're trying that.
Yeah, you could link them through Australia, and then off you go, you know, like an old phone patch.
South Shetland Island would be even better. The ASU map here, the Falkland Islands, South Shetland Islands, is further south than the southernmost tip of Australia, or New Zealand, even further south to be chased to.
Yeah, but they're probably worried about the HF not working. You know, just like we have problems here, it's not reliable for 24 hours. That's probably it. Whatever. I still think the Iridium's good. 73, guys. WS climb clear.
So I'll say a dip, WJT.
Did you call me, Joe?
Just curious, you going to be at Limelight Field Day next weekend?
I think so. I'm also going to visit Great South Bay. So, Thomas, you're going to be there the whole time?
I don't know. Probably like Saturday is set up, and then probably sometime Saturday night I'll be there. I don't know how late I'm going to stay, though. So probably best maybe 11, 12 o'clock. I don't know what time you're going to be there. Usually you get there later.
Yes, I do. A couple of times at noon and watch the sunrise.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I don't know how. Roger, are you still out there? Can you switch over to 449-125 or the 375 WJT?
Thank you for visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system. Code number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system. Code number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
Thank you.
copy. Yeah, I just wanted to say that traffic's moving well, and I'm up here by the Kew Gardens Exchange, and so far it's pretty good. And Garrett, back to you. N2ZDP, N2ZDP.
Well, it's officially summer, so maybe people have started taking vacations, and pretty soon we'll get rid of those pesky UFT members.
Yeah, pretty good. All right, I just hit Jackie Robinson, and there was a report about the. I just saw this guy's. He just had to pause because there's a guy in a Jeep that just got on, and he almost rear-ended a guy that was in the right lane, and I was coming up in the left, and I just stopped. I hit the brakes, so you let him go, and sure enough, he switched over to my lane, and he's gone. I don't even see him anymore.
Yeah, some of those guys can be real idiots. Maury came in on the digital. I'm going to tell him where we are.
Okay.
N2EP, N2ZDP, can you make it back to digital?
Well, I'm on the Jackie Robinson. It's very, very picky here. And, I heard I heard you guys. I could hear, but I'm not going to make it that well coming back to you. So, you guys, I'm up to exit 3 already, so I don't have too much more to go. So, I'll be 7-3. Have a good commute, Gary. N2ZDP, N2EB.
Okay. Take care, John. Speak to you later in the week. N2ZDP, clear 2 meters.
N2EO. N2MB calling. N2EO is 2MB.
WQVL Amateur Radio Repeater System. Tonight at 8:30, W2VL, repeater.